The following is the program traced out by Moscow for their agents and dupes in that country. It is taken from La Liberté of Fribourg, Switzerland, of 20th June 1931, which quotes from the official organ of the Russian Comintern, quote, "The flames ascending from the burning churches and monasteries of Spain have shown the true character of the Spanish Revolution. Its prospects are excellent, but that it may develop and win through, the movement must be directed by a thoroughgoing Communist Party. This party is actually being formed," end of quote. Some of the points to be aimed at by the agents of Moscow in Spain are then given as follows, quote, 1. Disbanding of the secret police, arrest of the functionaries of that force. 2. Arming of the workers and working farmers, peasants. 7. Confiscation of the lands belonging to the church and the landed proprietors. These lands to be handed over to the agricultural workers and working farmers. End of quote. The document further insists upon, quote, "the importance of the agrarian revolution, for which it is indispensable to set up working farmers' committees for the requisition of the property of the landed proprietors, of the banks and of the church, and for the handing over of these lands to working farmers and agricultural workers' committees, to refuse to pay debts, to refuse to pay state contributions until the lands are divided up, for the realization of all these revolutionary projects, the formation of committees, Soviets, of workers, working farmers and soldiers is necessary. That must be our chief aim," end of quote. Now the language and expressions used in this document, emanating from the Russian Comintern, are largely those with which the revolutionary papers have made their readers familiar here in Ireland. In the leading article of its issue of 23rd April 1932, under the caption, "On with the Old Cause, the Republic," one of those revolutionary papers states that it is working for, quote, "a republic for the 32 counties of Ireland, free from any dependence on or connection with the British Empire. A republic in which there will be civil and religious liberty and equal rights and opportunities for all citizens. A republic based on the public ownership of the land and instruments of production, distribution, and exchange," end of quote. What these declarations forebode for the farmers of the future Irish Republic may be learned from an article on motives of production in the publication The Republic on May 21st, 1932. In the course of this article, which the paper informs us is one of a series setting forth its editorial policy, we read, quote, "The sin and crime growing out of the private monopoly of land must never be tolerated in a free Ireland. Thus in land, those who now occupy holdings in trust for the nation shall be confirmed in their occupation, and but one condition sought of them, the use of such holdings to the maximum productivity point, and the making available for the nation of the surplus beyond the needs of the occupiers' families." End of quote. The communist movement in Ireland is advanced another stage by the declaration contained in the Manifesto to the Irish People, issued by the General Convention of the IRA on January 8, 1933. That document states unequivocally that, quote, "We believe the reorganization of Irish life demands the public ownership of the means of production, distribution, and exchange in a state based on the needs of the mass of the people," end of quote. As the convention was composed of elected delegates of all the volunteer units in the whole of Ireland, it represents the official policy of the IRA. Under cover of propaganda for the severance of Ireland from the British Empire, a communist republic from which private property in land and in the means of production would be excluded is thus being prepared. Anyone who would claim to own a mill or a portion of land would have to be suppressed as a British imperialist. The Communist Manifesto of Karl Marx and Frederick Engels enlightens us with regard to the sincerity of the national aims of every communist movement. We read therein, quote, "The struggle of the proletariat against the middle class is not in reality, but will be in appearance, a national struggle. The proletariat of each country must first overcome its own middle class. Communists have been accused of wanting to do away with the native land and nationality. Workers have no country. What they have not cannot be taken from them. Of course, the proletariat must first of all attain political power, become the ruling class in the nation, and constitute itself into the nation. In that sense, it is still attached to nationality, but it is not attached to nationality as the middle class is attached to it. The supremacy of the proletariat will efface them, all national distinctions." End of quote.